This is Jay Sekulow. Adam Schiff blocks the release of declassified documents involving the Russia probe, keeping Americans in the dark.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. And let me just start with, I'm not surprised by this. So I want to be really clear. This is not surprising to me. There has been a declassification of the transcripts that were used by the Intel Committee and others so that those documents could be released. And what a declassification means is that they're no longer deemed classified documents, which means you and me and other people could actually see what was going on inside these committees with these interviews, including exoneration issues. We know the Russia probe ended up producing nothing. There was no collusion. There was no interference by the Russians in collusion or in coordination with the Trump campaign. These documents have now been declassified. That's different than unredacted. They've been declassified. So they're no longer secret material. They're no longer material that shouldn't be available. In fact, they should be available. Adam Schiff, who chairs the Intel Committee, has been aggressive in getting documents from the president, from the White House, trying to get it from his lawyers. And we rebuff those because of what's called executive privilege or attorney-client privilege. This material is not privileged at all. There is no redactions anymore. There may be some redactions if there's a national security issue, but there certainly are not any classified material contained in here. So what happens? They're now available to release, and Adam Schiff, Jordan, does not release them.
And his committee actually voted to ultimately release these when they became declassified. And let's just tell people some of the people whose testimony is included in this. Former Director of National Intelligence, James Clapper. You got Roger Stone in there. John Podesta, the former Clinton campaign chairman. Andrew McCabe, former FBI Deputy Director and acting FBI Director. The attorney who was formerly a DOJ attorney who passed along the details about the interference, supposed Russian interference, to former FBI General Counsel James Baker. You got Don Jr.'s testimony in there. And, of course, he wrote, do you think Adam Schiff's trying to protect him, or do you think he's trying to protect people like Sally Yates, who testified? And you've got, again, a whole host of individuals that have testified here that we are not getting the information from. Andy McCabe, Sally Yates, Samantha Powers, Susan Rice. And none of these transcripts, even though the committee voted to release them once they were declassified, Adam Schiff is blocking them from the American people to be able to see. And all speculation points to this underscores what we all know, what Robert Mueller found out, that there was no there. And that's why none of these people, Dad, were ever called to testify in those public hearings.
So which raises the question, Than, I know we only got a minute here before we take the break, but it raises the question of what are the Republican members of Congress going to do now that Adam Schiff is refusing to allow the American people to see these documents?
Well, they're going to have to insist on disclosure because, remember, the ultimate conclusion of this investigation prior to the Mueller investigation was also that there was no there, as Jordan said. And again, Jay, if you look back to this period in 2018, it was the Democrats who were saying, hey, look, you're covering it up. Put this information out. So like Jordan said, the committee voted unanimously to put the documents out. But now the chairman, Schiff, is the chairman of the committee. He's blocking them. Jay, it's time for those documents, those transcripts to come public.
You know, it amazes me. They leaked documents when they wanted to leak them immediately. They put information out there that no one could respond to because they're the only ones that had the documents. Then when it comes to time that the documents could be seen by the American people, Adam Schiff says no. I was standing in the well of the United States Senate 2.5 months ago arguing on these points, and they knew darn well they were not going to release these documents. All right, we're going to take your calls. We're going to give you an update on the PPP, the new stimulus that's gone through. We're going to be joined by Andy Economo coming up as well. to talk about all this and taking your call.
It's a critical time for our nation and our world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important. And during this time of uncertainty, there's no better way to support the ACLJ than through online giving. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We truly appreciate your financial support. Without it, it would be impossible to do our work here and around the globe. And the best way to support our work is to make your financial gifts online at aclj.org.
Online giving, simple and secure. And by making an online gift, your support goes to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to defend human life, to stand up for our good friend Israel, to work to uncover the corrupt deep state in Washington, and so much more. Make a difference today. Support the work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Give today online at aclj.org. For 30 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has been dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of you, we've seen great success in the courts and Congress concerning the issues that matter most to you and your families. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
Our decades-long commitment to the Constitution and the rule of law is at the center of everything we do. The bottom line, our work could not take place without your generous support.
Now more than ever, during this time of uncertainty, the ACLJ needs your support. Consider making a gift online at aclj.org. Donating online is safe and secure, and an online gift at aclj.org can be put to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to continue the battle against abortion giant Planned Parenthood, to protect Christians facing persecution, and so much more. Every dollar makes a difference. Stand with the ACLJ today. Support our work online at aclj.org.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the broadcast. If you're just joining us, Adam Schiff has decided he's going to block information, including transcripts of interviews, that have in fact been declassified. So what that means is these documents are no longer classified so that they could be reviewed by the public. So you know what went on during this fake investigation. What did he? How does he respond to that? He is not going to release them. That's where that is. Let me quickly, though, go. We're going to get right back to this. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. We'll take your calls on this topic. We'll take it on the stimulus as well, other topics. But let me go to Than Bennett to get the quickest update on where we are with day one of the new stimulus plan.
Yeah, payment protection program open for business. The Small Business Administration taking applications. So money is again flowing through that, Jay. And just very quickly, also good updates from the Treasury Department on the individual stimulus payments. Almost 90 million of those payments have gone out. Eventually, that will reach 150 million. And maybe, Jay, just to answer a question that many people have called in about, people that are receiving Social Security benefits but do not file income tax. The indication is that those payments will start being made this Wednesday, April 29th, and those payments should be in people's bank accounts no later than May 5th. So moving very rapidly, and Jay, over the course of the next couple of weeks, it sure looks like the vast majority of those individual stimulus payments will be made. Good news, Jay.
Yeah, I think it is good news, and I know that a lot of businesses have been waiting for this, so I encourage those businesses that were that did not make it in the last one to go ahead and get in on this. All right, let's go back to the situation here with Adam Schiff. Obviously, Jordan, Adam Schiff does not want the documents released. Why is that? Because as the Mueller report showed, there was no collusion, there was no conspiracy, and the Congress went through this exercise that they did, and they knew darn well also there was no conspiracy here. And now all these transcripts are going to come forward and prove what? They're not going to prove a case.
Yeah. I mean, Don Jr. said it best. You know, he's one of these transcripts, but he said, you think Adam Schiff's really trying to protect me? No. He's trying to protect Susan Rice, Samantha Power, Sally Yates, Andy McCabe, James Clapper. I mean, this list goes on and on of important people who would have shed light on whether or not there was any truth to this whole idea that launched Crossfire Hurricane, the Russia collusion narrative. And yet, even though his committee voted bipartisan to release this once they were declassified, he actually ordered the Office of the Director of National Intelligence not to release any of these, that they were only sent over for classification and declassification purposes. So trying to ward an executive branch agency, you can't release these. These are the property of Adam Schiff and Adam Schiff's Intel Committee.
I mean, think about that for a moment, folks. The only one that gets access to this is Adam Schiff and Adam Schiff's committees. I mean, Fan, that's the irony of all of this, is that factor. To me, it's unbelievable that after 3 years, 3.5 years of this nonsense, they refuse then to release the documents.
Think about the circular reasoning here, Jay. I mean, in April of 2018, the Intel Committee under Chairman Nunes says that there's no there, and Adam Schiff, a member of the committee, says, oh, really? We want to see the transcripts. Put the transcripts out. So the committee, in a bipartisan basis, says, okay, we'll put the transcripts out and send them over for declassification. Now that the declassification is complete, except for that White House review of privileged information, it is now Chairman Schiff, who technically has ownership of the documents, who suddenly objects to the release of the information. Jay, nothing has changed except for the fact that Chairman Schiff now is the chairman, and he's aware what is in those transcripts now, and he knows that if it actually becomes public, it will undercut his narrative. Jay, the circular reasoning brings you back to one point. This has been a political game from him from the beginning. He doesn't really care about putting the facts out to the American people. He cares about what it will do to his narrative, and in this case, it would undermine it.
There's no question about it. We'll be joined by Andy Economo later. Remember, Andy, in the next segment, Andy served as a U.S. attorney in Georgia. He was also a state attorney general, a deputy state attorney general. He's been a DA. So he is going to take a look at this and, of course, has worked with us in Washington for decades. This is a stunning development, folks. You're not going to get this in a lot of news services right now. I will say that I am not shocked nor surprised that they're not releasing this information. I will leave it that, because knowing the way these committees operated and the sham they try to pull on the American people and the way they took us down the road and wasted all that time, to me is just shows you how the impropriety of this from the beginning. And Bob Mueller knew this as well. He knew it. They knew it when they did their interviews, and nothing, and they kept it going. All right, Jordan, let's go ahead. We got a lot of phone lines are jammed. Let's go ahead and take a phone call.
Jerry calling in from Rhode Island on line one. Jerry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jerry.
Hello, team.
Hey.
Listening to Fan, three things jumped off my mind. Conflict of interest, recusal, ethical oversight. Is Adam Schiff the end-all, be-all for this determination?
So this is the great question. It's a great question, Jerry. And is, what do you do from here? Well, now the political pressure has to be put on aggressively for these documents to be released. It's already starting. There'll be demands being made to have these documents released. But Congress could be stubborn here, Than. I mean, they control their own rules.
Yeah, technically, the Intelligence Committee controls these documents. But again, Adam Schiff, before he was chairman, supported putting them off. On that point, Jay, yes, it's political pressure that needs to happen. But look, I don't want to make Jerry even more concerned than he was. But under Chairman Schiff's leadership in October of last year, they also did an interview of the Intelligence Community Inspector General Michael Atkison. Guess who's blocking the release of those transcripts that were conducted by Chairman Schiff? Chairman Schiff. He is standing in the way of releasing the transcripts of the interview of the inspector general that he conducted. So, look, it's time for the body as a whole, the House of Representatives, including, I would tell you, Jay, Democrats who want to get past this issue, to force the issue from Chairman Schiff. He's out over his skis here. It's time for the political pressure to force these documents out into the public.
Jordan, what do you think?
It gets even worse here when you actually look at how this is being reported. So the Wall Street Journal and the Washington Examiner have sources that say that Schiff is refusing to make public 43 transcripts which have been declassified, but he's also, get this, preventing the declassification of 10 others. He's not even allowing 10 other transcripts to go through the declassification process. So how damning is the information in those 10 that he won't even transfer those over to the Office of the Director of National Intelligence to have them go through the declassification process? So he is actually holding on to 10 transcripts that he will not allow to be declassified, along with 43 which have been declassified. But I bet in those 10 is where we find the most key information. And again, he is ordering an executive branch agency to carry out the declassifications but not release any of the information, that it all belongs to him. But the fact that he's not allowing those 10 should raise a lot of suspicion. And I'm sure, again, it's got to go to people like John Durham and others who've got the power to say, you know, maybe there's some issue here with this, again, because there was a vote. There was a bipartisan vote on this committee to allow these transcripts to go public once they were declassified. Why is Adam Schiff not allowing the 43, which have been, and why is he holding on to 10 and not even allowing them to go through the declassification process?
To me, that is the real question. What Jordan just said is the actual real question of the day. They voted initially to allow these to be released. Yet here we are. Investigations are closed. They're over. And it's not being released. And to me, the problem is, we know what that means. And what that means is, there's no there. In other words, we've seen what they have, and they had nothing. But they never hesitated to leak out information during the proceedings when it was helpful to them.
Oh, of course not, when it furthered their narrative. There's no there, and I would add another point to that, Jay. I think the Republicans on the committee called his bluff, because remember, he wasn't chairman there, and he had all this bluster in front of the TV cameras about put out the information, put out the facts, and so every member of the committee, Republican and Democrat, said, okay, fine, we'll send for declassification, and when it's done, it will release. Of course, in the interim, he became chair, so he did what Jordan has said. There's these 43 that are declassified, the 10 that are not yet classified, and he's not allowing the final step of that process, the White House signing off on the fact that there's no privilege. Jay, you know this as well as anyone. The president has done this repeatedly. He has waived privilege in cases where he could have exempted it. That is a red. Here's what I'm looking for, Jay. The director of national intelligence at this point, Richard Grenell, watch his comments over the next week. I think those are going to be very telling.
I 100% agree. Rick Grenell is fantastic. He will be fantastic at this, and he's going to clean this mess up. And I think he's going to point to the problems that exist, which are, frankly, on the face of what's going on here. They said they would release them. They did not. We know what that means. All right, we're taking a break. We come back, we're going to take your calls. Andy Economo is joining us. Go to 1-800-684-3030. 10 lines are jammed right now. We'll open some up, hopefully, as we take some calls. 800-684-3110. Don't forget to support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. Also, in the last days of our matching challenge campaign at aclj.org, any amount you donate, we getting a matching gift for. And by the way, at the end of the month, our video team and our music folks are putting together a best of concert series, including new material. This was shot obviously before the virus that we're going to play for you. The last day of the month is a bonus to celebrate the end of the month and the matching challenge. aclj.org. Back with more in a moment.
For 30 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has been dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of you, we've seen great success in the courts and Congress concerning the issues that matter most to you and your families. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
Our decades-long commitment to the Constitution and the rule of law is at the center of everything we do. The bottom line, our work could not take place without your generous support.
Now more than ever, during this time of uncertainty, the ACLJ needs your support. Consider making a gift online at aclj.org. Donating online is safe and secure, and an online gift at aclj.org can be put to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to continue the battle against abortion giant Planned Parenthood, to protect Christians facing persecution, and so much more. Every dollar makes a difference. Stand with the ACLJ today. Support our work online at aclj.org. It's a critical time for our nation and our world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important. And during this time of uncertainty, there's no better way to support the ACLJ than through online giving. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We truly appreciate your financial support. Without it, it would be impossible to do our work here and around the globe. And the best way to support our work is to make your financial gifts online at aclj.org.
Online giving, simple and secure. And by making an online gift, your support goes to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to defend human life, to stand up for our good friend Israel, to work to uncover the corrupt deep state in Washington, and so much more. Make a difference today. Support the work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Give today online at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the podcast. Everyone, take your calls at 800-684-3110. We're talking about Adam Schiff deciding that he's not going to release documents that they agreed to release, which were the transcripts of the interviews from the witnesses during this Russia hoax that we were all dealing with. Before we get to that, Andy Economo is joining us, but let me just say this. We have filed nine amicus briefs with various courts of appeals on this issue of Planned Parenthood trying to circumvent the rules as it relates to surgeries and procedures. They wanted an exemption for their abortion procedures when people couldn't get other procedures that were necessary. Many of the states said, no, you can't do that. We needed the medical equipment for these particular, because we're in a pandemic. And I think in 93% of the cases, we have succeeded. So again, in nine cases so far, in just over 3 weeks, we filed nine briefs with courts of appeals on these cases. I just wanted to let you know that. Let me bring into the conversation Andy Economo, who's a senior counsel of the ACLJ. Andy, you read the reports on Adam Schiff. You're a former U.S. attorney, former state's attorney general, district attorney. You've also done a lot of work in Washington. But let's go to the difference of declassification and redaction. This was a declassification of these transcripts. What does that mean?
That means that anything that was considered to be classified information that should not be seen by the public has been declassified. They were declassified and they should then be sent to the White House. Adam Schiff is resisting doing that in spite of a unanimous bipartisan vote in the Intelligence Committee, Democrats and Republicans together voting that they should be declassified and sent to the White House so that they can be disseminated to the public. And I think it's between 43 and 53 different depositions of people that were taken, and he is holding that up because he refuses to concede. He refuses to concede that his collusion theory was garbage.
So, Andy, let's go through the difference between. Here we know that these have been declassified, which means they're available to the public. Sometimes we talk about documents being redacted where there's material being held back. But here there's been an allowance of the documents to go forward. Yet Adam Schiff, despite the vote, is not allowing that.
That's right. He's using his power as chairman of the committee, which if the Congress changes, which I hope it does, he will no longer be chairman of the committee. But as chairman of the committee, he's using his power to prevent the declassified documents to be turned over to the public so we can see. What is he hiding? What he's hiding and he's trying to protect is he continues to cling to this idea that there was collusion between the president and Russia. Mueller spent 2 years, came out of it saying, there is no such thing. To Adam Schiff, we need to say, give it up. Stop it. It doesn't exist. Think of something else. Come up with something else to attack the president with if you feel compelled to. But collusion with Russia is no longer a viable alternative for you to be pursuing. Give it up.
All right, Jordan, let's do this. Let's go ahead and take some phone calls. Phone lines are jammed at 800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and take some calls.
Sure. Let's go to Tom in California on line 2. Tom, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hey, Tom.
Hi, team. Hey. Hello there. Hey, my question is, when can we expect a result from the IG report, and when can they start indicting these people? My second part of this question is, how far up the chain of command in the deep state can we start the indictments, or can expect the indictments to go?
Well, indictments are going to be based on, and Bill Barr said this, indictments will be based on the evidence that's presented. That's being investigated by John Durham, who is basically acting under the authority of the Attorney General to get to the bottom of how this whole Russia investigation and the intelligence gathering started and the counterintelligence investigation called Crossfire Hurricane, how that all began. Where it goes, where the evidence goes, is where the indictments, if any, will go. So in other words, if the evidence points to a particular person, that's how this will move forward. But it's being done on an expeditious basis. You saw the news reports, even Jordan last week, talking about additional staffing being hired and that this investigation is, in fact, moving forward.
That's right. John Durham actually made the drive down from where he's based as a U.S. attorney in Connecticut to Washington, D.C. to add more prosecutors and to make sure the investigation was moving forward, even while COVID-19 and you've got the pandemic and the courts and things like that kind of having to operate in different ways. These investigations are continuing, and just last week he doubled down on that by making the drive from Connecticut to D.C. to make sure to actually add members to his team. So I think that was a key moment. It got, you know, get a lot of this gets glossed over right now because of COVID-19. That was a key moment in the Durham investigation to add members to his prosecutorial team, even in the midst of this pandemic and the crisis that's hitting our country right now.
So, Andy, I want to ask about that because people say, how long does it take to do this? You've brought indictments before in federal and state courts. You know what the process takes. It's painstaking. You have to follow where the evidence goes.
That's right, but it takes time to do it. You don't just throw up an indictment and see what sticks. It takes time. You have to interview witnesses. You have to look at documents. You have to corroborate information. You have to make sure that the testimony has testimony behind it, or documents behind it that support what your theory of the case is. You don't just throw it together. An investigation that is thrown together often results in disaster for the prosecutor. And John Durham is a career prosecutor from the District of Connecticut, working with the Attorney General, being very meticulous in what he's doing, and it's going to take time. Justice moves slowly. It's going to take time for it to unfold. But be assured that it will unfold and the truth is going to come out.
So let me go to Than on this. Than, what is the reaction right now of Republicans that are members of the Intel Committee on what Adam Schiff is doing by blocking these documents so that the American people do not get to see them?
Yeah, I actually talked to sources on the committee this morning, Jay, to ask that exact question. And there's outrage. But look, my response back to them is outrage is not going to be enough. You're going to have to speak up as members of that committee until proper recourse happens. I will tell you, though, Jay, some of those same people I talked to responded on this point you just engaged with Andy about. And they believe that the staffing up of John Durham is because he has started to tick off some of those checklist items, whether it's, you know, a time to go before a grand jury or getting a green light to proceed, that's why he needs the additional staff. And I will tell you, Jay, one person actually referenced the quote from the Attorney General that Jordan mentioned as saying that's not a coincidence. The Attorney General said if people broke the law and we can establish that with evidence, they will be prosecuted. Just this morning, Jay, one of those sources on the committee said the timing of that comment and the timing of the staffing up, not an accident. They expect more to be coming very, very soon.
No, I think that's right. All right, we're taking a break. Now, we're here for another 30 minutes. Andy's going to be joining us in the back half hour as well. So if you don't get the full hour of the program, SiriusXM, a number of stations, and, of course, you can go over to Facebook, Periscope, ACLJ.org. So we're operating remotely, as you can tell. That's during this pandemic, but we're getting you this information as if we were in our studios. So, again, thanks for joining with us. Also, don't forget, we're in a matching challenge campaign, ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate will be doubled. I said there's going to be a concert at the end of the month. Now, rest assured, you'll see this will be footage from previous shows and re-edited and put together in a different way and some new material that was done before the pandemic. But we will do that as a celebration of the last day of our matching challenge campaign. I hope everybody is continuing to stay safe. We will be back with you in the next half hour, so don't go away. Again, support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. If you want to talk to us, lines are jammed. 800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
So after a three-year investigation, after millions of dollars spent, tens of millions of dollars spent by special counsels, by staff on the Intelligence Committee, on the Judiciary Committee, after full hearings, after an impeachment proceeding, after an acquittal. So that's been basically my life the last 3 years. Adam Schiff, when given the opportunity to convey to the American people, released the transcript of the interviews that they did, the witness interviews that they did in their investigation, which I believe will exonerate and did exonerate, of course, the president. He refuses to do so. And he uses a theory that, well, I know I agreed to, but I'm not going to because it's not in the best interest of Congress. Now, Than, I want to go right to Than first in Washington on this because there was an agreement that this ultimately was going to be released, and they were leaking information during this entire time frame when these interviews were taking place. They never hesitated to leak information if they thought it was helpful to them.
It's a power play, plain and simple, Jay. It's voting for it before I voted against it. And the only thing that has changed is that he is now the one controlling the reins of the committee. That is literally the only thing that has changed. The investigation has not reopened. That finished in April of 2018, and the committee concluded that there was no collusion. At that time, he was not the chairman of the committee, so he wanted the information out, and he voted for declassification. When that declassification finished and it came back to his committee for ultimate release, at that point he was the chairman, Jay, so he exerted a power play, plain and simple. He was able to see the information. He knew that it undercut his narrative, and so he played his hand as chairman of the committee. Jay, but you can't have it both ways. In America, when you voted for it before you voted against it, you put that information out.
No, Dan, you're absolutely right. Jordan, what is your view on how this plays out now?
I think this is very dangerous for Adam Schiff, playing a very dangerous game because he's now dealing with the executive branch intelligence community, and he allowed 43 of those transcripts to go to the Office of the Director of National Intelligence to go through the declassification process. 43 have been declassified. They are ready to be released to the public, like the committee decided to vote in a bipartisan way early on in this process that once this was done, we would take these testimonies that were done in secret and private and go through the declassification process and then release them once it went through that process. So 43 are ready to go, but he's holding on to 10. There's 53 total, and he's holding on to 10 that he's not even allowing them to go through the declassification process. And, I mean, think about the people here. We're talking about the former Director of National Intelligence, James Clapper. We're talking about the former FBI Acting Director, Andy McCabe. We're talking about, again, people like Sally Yates, Susan Rice. I mean, the list goes on. Samantha Power. These are people who the committee interviewed but did not call to testify publicly. Remember, we saw some of the folks testify publicly. This group did not. So we don't know what is in their testimony. Adam Schiff does. And there has got to be a reason. It has got to be so damning that he is holding on to 10 of these and not even allowing them to go through a declassification process.
You know, it was interesting. During the impeachment proceedings, I was kind of, my job was when Adam Schiff spoke, I was generally doing the responses. And it's interesting to me that he agreed when he was not the leader to release the transcripts. Then when he becomes the leader, he refuses to release the transcripts. I mean, think about that for a moment. I will vote to release the transcript once everything's declassified. Everybody agrees. I become the leader. I do not want to release the information. Why is that? Because they exonerate the President of the United States, which we all know now because of the Mueller report. All right, we come back. Andy Economo is joining us again, and we'll also be taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. We're in our matching challenge campaign, aclj.org. This broadcast stays on the air because of your support to the American Center for Law and Justice. We'll be back with calls with Andy Economo in just a moment.
It's a critical time for our nation and our world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important. And during this time of uncertainty, there's no better way to support the ACLJ than through online giving. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We truly appreciate your financial support. Without it would be impossible to do our work here and around the globe. And the best way to support our work is to make your financial gifts online at ACLJ.org.
Online giving, simple and secure. And by making an online gift, your support goes to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to defend human life, to stand up for our good friend Israel, to work to uncover the corrupt deep state in Washington, and so much more. Make a difference today. Support the work of the ACLJ online at ACLJ.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Give today online at ACLJ.org. For 30 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has been dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of you, we've seen great success in the courts and Congress concerning the issues that matter most to you and your families. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
Our decades-long commitment to the Constitution and the rule of law is at the center of everything we do. The bottom line, our work could not take place without your generous support.
Now more than ever, during this time of uncertainty, the ACLJ needs your support. Consider making a gift online at ACLJ.org. Donating online is safe and secure, and an online gift at ACLJ.org can be put to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to continue the battle against abortion giant Planned Parenthood, to protect Christians facing persecution, and so much more. Every dollar makes a difference. Stand with the ACLJ today. Support our work online at ACLJ.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast. Everyone, take your calls at 800-684-3110. Andy Economo is joining us again, our senior counsel, former U.S. attorney, state attorney, and DA. Let's go. I want to take a call before, and Andy can respond to this call as well, but let's, Jordan, go ahead and take Carol. She's been holding a long time on line six.
Yeah, Carol, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. Called in from New York. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you.
Hi,
one sane person in New York. Anyway, I just wondered, when we get the good guys back in majority, will they be able to take care of the mess the Democrats have left?
So this is the question I'm going to ask everybody this to respond quickly, and then I'll do it at the end. Andy, the answer is?
The answer is yes. Once we have a majority in Congress of Republicans who can take command of the situation, we can stop this nonsense that's been going on for the last 2 years under Pelosi and her lieutenants, including Adam Schiff, including Nadler, and including all these people that she has made as chairman of these committees. And we can stop this nonsense and get on with the business of the nation, both the health business of the nation and the economic business of the nation. We need to give up this idea. Schiff and the Democrats, Pelosi and her sidekicks, need to give up this idea of collusion. Mueller blew it apart. It doesn't exist. The Ukraine situation doesn't exist. The impeachment was a failure. Get on with the business of the country. And the way you do it is get rid of those who are in power now.
All right, let me ask Than, then I'm going to ask Jordan. So, Than, what is procedurally would need to happen to get the documents released?
Yeah, so procedurally, the documents are the property, so to speak, of the Intelligence Committee. And under Chairman Nunes, they had sent them over to the various offices in the executive branch that had to sign off on the declassification. And that has happened for most of the documents now. So procedurally now, they would need to be sent through the White House for them to assure that there are no privileges waived in them. At least that's the case for most of the documents. And then it would be the committee itself who would release the documents. That's why, Jay, you would think that if they had unanimously voted to declassify and then release, that would functionally be a very easy thing to do. But of course, now Chairman Schiff is standing in the way. Really, those are the only two steps needed for the vast majority of these documents. White House to say nothing in there that privilege is not privy to, and then the committee to release them.
So, Jordan, what is the political ramifications of this?
Okay, so the political ramifications are one assumption that was in that phone call, that Republicans will take back the majority in the House. Now, I think you have to look at other ways potentially, because that's putting it all on the electoral process. Now, I believe I wrote a book about it, The Next Red Wave. I think Republicans can take back the House, but that's going to take a massive swell of grassroots support and voting in a time period now that's kind of in question about how do you do that grassroots support? How do you get involved in the campaign in this new world we're living in? Maybe that will change in the months leading up to November 3rd. Hopefully it will, so that people can re-engage, because I do think we have a chance of doing it, and that would make it very easy. You'd put Republicans in charge, they'd get all this information out. But I do think you have to start looking at alternative methods. Because we're attorneys, you always want to look at kind of best case, worst case. Worst case, if the House Democrats and people like Adam Schiff still control this committee, how else could you get this information out?
All right, I want to play for Andy to respond to a comment made by the Attorney General of the United States, Bill Barr, regarding the Durham investigation. Andy, take a listen, but also radio audience and TV audience, you take a listen too.
Building these cases, especially the sprawling case we have between us that went on for 2 or 3 years here, takes some time to build the case. So he's diligently pursuing it. My own view is that the evidence shows that we're not dealing with just mistakes or sloppiness. There was something far more troubling here, and we're going to get to the bottom of it. And if people broke the law, and we can establish that with the evidence, they will be prosecuted.
Not mistakes or sloppiness. What does that tell you, Andy?
Well, I mean, that means that there was some intentional acts here, that there was something that was done with purpose and with intent and with motive and drive behind it. And that's what the Attorney General and his specially appointed assistant, John Durham, is trying to ferret out right now. What is that, those sinister motives? This is not a case, Jay, in which we catch a guy with a gun who shot somebody, we have a confession, and we have a gun with fingerprints on it, and we have the bullet that matches what's in the body. That's a simple case. That's a murder case. I've done a lot of those. That's not what this is. This has a lot more implications to it, and therefore it takes a lot more time and effort and energy. The Attorney General knows exactly what he is doing, and he is doing it in the proper fashion.
Jordan, let's do this. Let's take Bill's call on line one, because I think it's relevant to what we just heard.
Yep, Bill in Kansas on line one. Welcome to Jay Secchio Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Hello, Jay. Sure. Thank you very much for the outstanding job you did for the president in the impeachment. It was excellent. Jay, my question is, do we know if there are any grand juries that have been convened either with Durham or any other U.S. attorney?
When you say, do we know if there's a grand jury in process? In other words, you really don't know that. It would be speculation. The way it would work, and I'll let Andy address this, is as the case moves forward, they convene a grand jury, and a grand jury is who they're working with, Andy. That would be the normal process.
That's what I suspect is happening right now. John Durham has convened a grand jury in the District of Columbia, and he is sitting as a special prosecutor from his district in Connecticut, and that grand jury is gathering information and gathering facts, documents, and testimony, trying to figure out what happened. That's the only
way. I don't know if that grand jury, by the way, is in Connecticut or in D.C. I don't think anybody, I mean, the Department of Justice knows. We don't know that. But that's the way the process would work. Helpful here for a second, Andy, to explain to everybody what the grand jury actually does. I think this would be an important point for people to understand. What does the grand jury actually do in a case like this, where it's not, as you said, a robbery or a murder? It's much more complicated to put together.
It's putting together a puzzle, Jay, a big, huge puzzle that a lot of people these days are doing at home to pass the time of day. But it's putting together a puzzle of pieces of evidence. Testimony from one witness, a document from another witness, something from here, something from there, and trying to put together a puzzle to make a picture of exactly what happened, who knew what, when, and where, and who the targets of the investigation are, who committed the crimes, what the motive was, what the intent was, and to piece together a story. That's what a grand jury does under the supervision of the United States attorney, who is the attorney for that grand jury. And that's what a grand jury is doing. It's an accusatory body. It's not a body where you, the other side, has the right to come in and be heard. They don't have that right. They don't have the right to have counsel with them in that grand jury. It's a one-sided accusatory and investigatory body created by our Constitution.
All right, there you have it. All right, let's go ahead and take another call, Jordan, before the break.
Yeah, let's go. And we're going to go people that hold Nancy in California on line three. Thanks for holding, Nancy. You're on the air.
Hi, fellas. I just wanted to say that I think that someone on that committee or in the DNI needs to have, like, Cory Booker's infamous Spartacus moment and just release them anyway.
Well, Fan, it's not so simple, right? I mean, explain that process. I think that'd be this is a good educational moment, too.
Yeah, I mean, until the declassification process is over, you're still dealing with what is technically classified information. Now, I know the reporting is, and all of the sources that I talk to substantiate this, that the classifying agencies have said that this is information that can now be released, but it actually, the process has to finish. The White House has to sign off on it. They haven't been sent the documents because Chairman Schiff is standing in the way of it. So at this moment, Jay, if a member of that committee were to do that, they would be technically inviolate of the prohibition of releasing classified information. Here's what I would say to the caller, though. While I don't think the leak is the proper course of action, even though we saw it from Democrats repeatedly on this issue, I would say every Republican, every Democrat that sits on this committee, Jay, and voted for the declassification and release of this information, they've got to stand up and insist that their vote actually be enforced. Otherwise, what are they here in Washington for, Jay? If they're going to vote for this process and then stand by why one elected official stands in opposition to that vote, what are they here for?
Let me ask you really, really quick thing, because we got just a minute left in the segment. What if it is, in fact, it comes back from the White House, everything's declassified, it's approved, it's ready to go, Adam Schiff still says no?
He's operating in capacity as the chairman. I would say at that point, there's a pretty strong case to be made that the ranking member, in this case, Devin Nunes, could probably put those out. I'd have to look into it a little bit more, but I think there's a strong case to be made with that vote on the record, Jay, and it was unanimous. Pretty good case at that point.
I say get your team up there in Washington. Let's start looking at it, because I think that may be what we're dealing with. All right, Andy, thanks for being with us. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will take your calls on any topic. 1-800-684-3110. We've opened some lines for you, 800-684-3110. And again, support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org and that Matching Challenge campaign. But let me also say, if you want to talk to us, we'll take any topic in the last segment. If you've got questions on the PPP, whatever, give us a call. Back with more in just a moment.
For 30 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has been dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of you, we've seen great success in the courts and Congress concerning the issues that matter most to you and your families. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
Our decades-long commitment to the Constitution and the rule of law is at the center of everything we do. The bottom line, our work could not take place without your generous support.
Now more than ever, during this time of uncertainty, the ACLJ needs your support. Consider making a gift online at aclj.org. Donating online is safe and secure, and an online gift at aclj.org can be put to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to continue the battle against abortion giant Planned Parenthood, to protect Christians facing persecution, and so much more. Every dollar makes a difference. Stand with the ACLJ today. Support our work online at aclj.org. It's a critical time for our nation and our world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important. And during this time of uncertainty, there's no better way to support the ACLJ than through online giving. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We truly appreciate your financial support. Without it, it would be impossible to do our work here and around the globe. And the best way to support our work is to make your financial gifts online at aclj.org.
Network. Online giving, simple and secure. And by making an online gift, your support goes to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to defend human life, to stand up for our good friend Israel, to work to uncover the corrupt deep state in Washington, and so much more. Make a difference today. Support the work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Give today online at aclj.org.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the broadcast. Taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Last segment, a lot of calls. Jordan, let's go right to the phones.
Yep, Lynette calling in from New York on line 5. Lynette, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Lynette.
Hello, and thank you to all of you for all that you have been doing and are doing, even with the information that you're getting out with the COVID-19. Deeply appreciated. My concern is that, if I'm understanding correctly, Adam Schiff and others are already planning to have two teams to do an investigation or something against the president and the administration regarding how the response has been handled to COVID-19. But these are the same people that just put us through all of this with the impeachment hoax. And now they're saying that I don't want to release documents. I did want to. I don't, but I'm not going to now. Don't we have some type of recourse as far as protection against?
Well, I'll go right to Than on this quickly, but because the answer is they have the right to do oversight. It has to be reasonable, though.
Yeah, and they already had that right. What they did last week is set up a different select subcommittee on the oversight committee to oversee coronavirus, Jay. It didn't give them any new authority. They already had it. They did it as a political tool against the president. And James Clyburn, he's going to be the chair of it. He sees this as an opportunity to reshape things in his vision. That was done last week, Jay. I imagine their work will start next week.
So there'll be fights and back and forth, and that's more the normative process on how these things go. All right, Jordan, let's take another call.
Yeah, we're going to go in order now. People have been holding on. Nancy in Texas on line 4. This is an interesting question in light of what we've been dealing with in the past and even talked about yesterday on the broadcast. Nancy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thank you. And thank you for all you've done and continue doing. My question
Thanks,
is,
Nancy.
What's to keep Schiff from, quote, editing this while he's holding on to it or deleting, just like Hillary and Steele?
Yeah, he can't do that. And Jordan, the reason he can't do it is other members of Congress on those committees, including Republicans, have those documents.
Right. Unlike Christopher Steele, who yesterday, you know, when he was doing this deposition in the UK, said, "Oh, everything about my contacts, everything about the dossier has been wiped. I have no documents. I have no information. I've got nothing." Adam Schiff has got an entire committee, and they do have access to this. So he can't just wipe this clean and make this disappear. So this problem is not going away for Adam Schiff. In fact, the media is reporting, in conservative media outlets, that this is actually a growing problem for Adam Schiff because it's in direct contrast to the bipartisan vote that was taken early in the process. If we're going to have these behind-closed-doors depositions, ultimately, when this is done, and it's done because Mueller's done and all that, the impeachment's done, it's all done, we will go through the declassification process and then release the transcripts. So ultimately, 43 of the 53 transcripts, Than, are ready to be released. But what concerns me, and I mean, I want to repeat this over and over, is that there are 53 total. And 10 of those, Adam Schiff is not allowing to go through the declassification process. He is holding them close to the vest. And you got to wonder if those are the James Clappers, the Andy McCabe's, the Sally Yates, the Susan Rice's, the Samantha Powers, the real Obama administration top officials who were interviewed in this process.
Probably so. I think that's a fair assumption, Jordan. I mean, because look, if holding back the declassification process, what that means functionally is that he does not want whatever agency it is that has some control over the source information inside those documents to look at it. What is the only conclusion you can draw from that, Jordan? It is that if they completed that process and allowed that information to go forward, it would tell a story that Chairman Schiff does not want to tell. If that was not the case, Jordan, why would he care? Why would he care if this finished and the information went out into public? The answer is he wouldn't care. It's the only reason I can come up with for him standing in the way of it.
You know, we've got a call coming in on the stimulus check. And Than, I think it's important to take this one. Then we're going to get back to finish the last couple calls of the day from Molly and Katie. But let's go to Karen in Arkansas, line one. Karen, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call, and thank y'all for what you do. Y'all are great. I finally got information on my stimulus check yesterday. I got a message on the site that said my check would be deposited on the 30th. So, and I put my information in on the 15th, and I just now got that. Now, my husband's on Social Security, so that may have been what took so long, which is fine. But what I'm trying to tell people, keep checking that site, because it will tell you when your check is going to be deposited.
You know, I think that's important. We told people, Dad, to be their own advocates.
Sister,
to
go
be
ahead.
Their own advocates, to keep checking. And that's Karen just giving that positive update. All right, we're going to go back to another call. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Molly in North Carolina on line two. I think this is a great question for Than and our government affairs team. Molly, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you very much, and God bless each of you. Quick question. Which members of Congress should we call to put the pressure on Adam Schiff, who actually works for all of us and whose salary we pay? And I want to be able to spread the word to all my different Facebook pages, which is thousands and thousands. Thank you.
So, Than, who are the best folks to reach out to in the Congress? Maybe there are some senators, too, but who, if you're going to name a few for Molly to ask to really get behind this, who would you tell right now to call?
Yeah, it's a great question, Jordan. And Molly, I would give you three groups of people very quickly. First of all, always start with your member of Congress. No matter who they are, they are the ones that are going to be most vested in hearing from you. Second, every member on that committee voted for this information to go public. Each one of them is fair game to contact and ask why or why not they aren't speaking out for the release of this information. And then third, Jordan, this is more in a political lens, but I think you'll agree that it would be very effective. There are more than 30 Democrats in districts that elected Donald Trump. I think they should probably make life miserable on Speaker Pelosi until she follows through on what the committee under her jurisdiction promised to do. I would contact those 32 members and have them put pressure on Speaker Pelosi to put pressure on Chairman Schiff.
I think you said it right. And I want to say something else. I know we've got a call coming in here, and we'll take this last call, Jordan, about the IRS site. They have just updated that site, just so people know. The Internal Revenue Service has, in fact, updated that site. But, Jordan, go ahead. Let's take the last call.
Yeah, Katie calling from Virginia, line six, final call of the day. Thanks for calling, Katie.
Hey, Katie, real quick, please.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I appreciate what you've done. I went to that site this morning even and asked about mine and my husband's check, and it says that our information does not match. We have filed our 2019 taxes, but when I put in our Social Security and birthdays and addresses, it says the information doesn't match, so I don't know what to do from here.
I think you probably need to fill out that other form that they have available quickly, Than. Is that what you'd say?
I would do that. Yeah, the non-filer tool. Most of these glitches, Jay, now have been fixed. There will continue to be a few. If you're getting one of them at this point, I'd fill the form out.
All right. Jordan's going to let you know how you... Thanks for calling in, Katie. We appreciate it. Let you know how you can support the ACLJ in the last days here of our matching challenge.
Folks, remember, your support goes to this daily radio broadcast. It goes to the 9 briefs we filed in just under 3 weeks supporting life. During the pandemic, our attorneys at work and, of course, around the world... Double the impact of your donation in the month of April. It's a matching challenge month with a few days left. If you're financially able to, it's a great time. Donate online at aclj.org and double your impact. aclj.org. Donate today. Talk to you.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.